Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Tuesday Night Bible Study. We continue our study on the book of James. We shall finish around plus or minus 5 to 10 minutes, about 9, plus or minus 5 or 10 minutes to 9 o'clock, because there are some groups who have requested that they could have their own prayer meeting through Zoom or other platform through the internet. Let us look to God in prayer before we begin. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, O God, once again, for Thy keeping, for Thy mercies and Thy goodness in watching over us. We pray, O Lord, that as we continue to study the book of James, may Thy Holy Spirit be our teacher once again tonight. Comfort our hearts through Thy holy word, especially in times like this. We pray, O God, for Thy mercies to be upon all of us in Singapore. Grant much wisdom to the leaders of this country, that they will rule this country in equity and in justice, especially during these difficult times where they have to make many painful and new decisions, rules and regulations, including the laws that will help us overcome this pestilence. We pray, Father, that Thou will be gracious to hear our cry, for we know that Thou alone are able to put this pestilence away from our lives. And we ask, O Lord, that Thou will be gracious to hear the cry of all Your children for Jesus' sake. Thank You, Father, once again for this privilege that we can gather in this simple manner to search the Scriptures together. We pray, Lord, for Thy Holy Spirit once again to be our teacher, to grant us understanding and apply Thy holy word to our hearts, that we may not be hearers only, but doers of Thy holy and precious word of life. Forgive us, O Lord, of all our sins, and bless our time together. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen. Our first lesson in the book of James was entitled, Rejoice in Temptations. The Jewish believers were in diaspora, that means they were forced to scatter because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, probably due to the Jewish brethren who rejected Christ, and they persecuted their fellow brethren who came to know Christ as Lord and as Savior. And our second message was the wisdom that the Lord is made available to everyone, and so we entitle it as Wisdom, a Gift Awaiting. If we struggle with understanding why we are going through such times, pray and ask God to show us from Scripture, especially through our understanding of the doctrine of who God is, the doctrine of who Christ is, the doctrine of salvation, and the doctrine of ministry, service, and witness. And to help us maintain our focus, our third lesson was True Wealth Revealed. What exactly is the meaning of wealth in a believer's life? The Lord Jesus Christ did tell the disciples when He walked on earth, stop measuring yourself by the abundance what you possess. That was the standard of the old man. But now that we are believers in Christ, we must now measure ourselves based upon things that are eternal, things that are spiritual, things that rust and moth cannot destroy and thieves cannot steal. Especially when you are like the Jewish believers who were forced to leave behind their material possessions, including their loved ones and family in some cases. And last Tuesday, our fourth lesson, we focus on wear biblical glasses. Look at the world using the Word of God. Let the Word of God help us understand this world that we are living in so that we may face temptations correctly and understand them for what they really are. Remember, there are two types of temptations. The evil type that we are told and taught by Christ to pray to lead us not into those kind of temptations that are already evil the moment we fall into them. Example, the seduction of Potiphar's wife over young Joseph. The other temptation that is not wrong in itself, but it could result in sin if we do not react and respond by faith, trusting in God to see us through. Example would be the storms that the disciples had to go through on their way from one point of the Sea of Galilee to the other point, on the other part of the Sea of Galilee, where they had to sail through the waters and a storm came. How you and I react and respond to this kind of temptation, which was what James focused on in James chapter 1, the earlier verses, would depend on how we trust God, how much of the Word of God do we know, and to also understand who we are ourselves from a biblical perspective. We are servants of God. We are children of God. We are sons and daughters of God. That's who we are, to be the light to a world that is dying in sin. And we are the first fruits of His creation, His creatures. That's how special children of God are in God's eyes. So tonight, we look at James chapter 1, verse 19 to verse 21. Let us read these verses together. James 1, verse 19, three verses, 19, 20, and 21. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Amen. May God bless us in the reading of His most holy and sacred word. The topic, of course, you know, is on how to respond positively to God's word. That is the general thrust of these three verses. And so the title is, Be Swift to Hear. Be swift to hear. The verb to be, that is the word be, is, of course, in the present tense and is in the imperative. So God was basically telling believers, like ourselves today as well, a command. Be. Make it a point to continually be ever, ever ready to listen very swiftly. And the word swift is used here in the book of James and nowhere else in the whole New Testament. This is the only occurrence, in other words. It simply means be prompt. Be quick. Do not delay. How do we delay hearing God's word? We argue. We tend to be defensive. We want to look for excuses to argue with God's word. That is the problem. Our mind is designed and made by God in such a way where we can only think of one thing at a time. Same with our mouths. If we are quick to listen, that means we are paying close attention to what the Word of God says, then we will not be speaking. And if we do not speak and we pay close attention to what the Word of God says, then the outcome will not be one of wrath, anger. And so the title tonight is, Be Swift to Hear, to listen carefully to God's Word. Now, of course, when we are reading the Bible, that is one of the most common ways to hear God's Word. And when you and I are reading God's Word in the quietness of our study or our room, then we have no one to argue with, no excuse that we could make. It's just between you and the Word of God. You just read either quietly or loudly. You read the Word of God. It's just you and the Word. And the Spirit of God may help you interpret it and understand it. Now you can, in your own heart and mind, argue with the still small voice of thy Holy Spirit, who is now using the Word of God to convict you and to teach you, to guide you. Now, will you listen? I think many of us, it's much easier to listen to the Word of God when it is presented to us in this fashion. It's just me and the Spirit of God and the Word of God itself, my own voice, either loudly or quietly, it's still my own voice. And we do not have issue with our pride, our ego. However, when the Word of God is given to us by another person, another person. And especially if the person is someone that is below us. If a person that is above us, that we respect very highly, what the person says will be much easier for us to accept because we look up to that person. Sometimes we look up to the person so much so that we are prepared to shift our loyalty away from Christ to that person, not that kind of feeling toward that person, because just simply we want the person's approval. And so when the person teaches the word of God and the person is someone that I like, look up to very much as my spiritual father, then we are more inclined to accept and we will argue less. But what happens if the word of God comes from someone that is not so highly regarded by us? And if we are in position of leadership, and what if it comes from an ordinary church member? Or worse still, what if it comes from a Gentile, an unbeliever? And God used them to chastise us, to teach us. Are we also very quick or swift to hear when the word of God comes from people that we do not look up to? And some of them we might even have a low view of. I mean, we won't say that we despise them, but we do not respect them the way that we should. And we might even feel that I should know better. This person is beneath me. I am someone with this degree in theology or that position of authority. And so therefore, if it comes from this ordinary member or even an unbeliever, why must I listen? I should know better, or I know better. Remember how God used Abimelech to rebuke Abraham? When Abraham and Sarah, the time Sarah was really 89 years old, Abraham was 99 years old, and the Lord had just told them that the same time next year, Sarah would give birth to a son, and his name would be called Isaac. And yet when they were in the city, the Philistine city of Gerar, they lied. They used the deception of brother and sister, resulting in Abimelech taking Sarah for his wife. And then the Lord had to speak to him through a dream to stop him and to warn him, now you must return this woman to Abraham, whom the Lord called my prophet, or else you will die. Because now I have told you. And Abimelech said, I did this out of the innocency of my heart. Both of them said that they were brothers and sisters. Yeah, the Lord said, I know, that's why you're still alive. But now that I have told you, it's no longer ignorance, it's no longer innocence. You have to return. And so Abimelech woke up and rebuked Abraham and said that Abraham was a shame, a covering of the eyes to Sarah and to Abraham's servants. The Lord used Abimelech, a Gentile king, to rebuke Abraham, the father of the faithful. How difficult it must have been, how shameful it must have been. But are we prepared to be swift to listen? Doesn't matter who the instrument that God used to teach us, to guide us, to chastise us, to rebuke us, to admonish us, as long as it is the word of God, even if it comes from an S, like God used an S to speak to Balaam. If it's the word of God, it should not matter what instrument or who the instrument is. The key is it the word of God? This swift to hear, slow to speak, is more than just a nice teaching between two human beings. Sure, it is applicable in two human beings' relationship, between husband and wife, between friend and friend, whereby if you want to maintain a good, healthy relationship with one another, be quick to listen, slow to speak. Because if you are quick to speak and you don't listen, the issue, the result will usually be one of anger, quarrels, unhappiness. Sure, you can apply this between two human beings, but primarily when you look at this context, it is the word of God. So it is not between two human beings, but between God and us. And James did describe us as my beloved brethren. So he is referring to people who call themselves Christians. This is more than just James, a Jew, talking to fellow Jews. He's referring to James, a Christian, and other Jews who are Christians. my fellow brethren is more than just a Jewish race relationship, but a spiritual Christian relationship, encouraging us, be quick to listen to God's word and don't make excuses or find excuses not to obey God's word. Quick to listen, hear, understand it correctly, which was what we looked at last week, and then don't speak so much. Don't speak so much. Don't try to think of other ways to justify what the word of God is now rebuking us, convicting us, but accept it. Because once you and I will try to justify ourselves and we become very defensive, the result would be one of anger. Anger against God, anger against the difficult circumstances in life, anger against people. And the one closest to us, the one that we spend the longest time with, will be the ones that will be the brunt who will receive our anger. And usually it will be for us who are married, our spouse, or our children, or our relatives, our mom, our dad. And so, be very, very quick, swift to listen, to hear God's word. Because from verse 19, you realize that this is the key to obedience. The key to obedience to God's word is to listen. If the word of God is very much applicable and we are not doing it, then we stop sinning and then we obey. You know how much and great a blessing and benefit there will be to our lives in our witness for Christ. When the word of God, like a cleansing agent, washes away the filth, the wrong understanding, the wrong thinking in my heart, in my mind, resulting in the right kind of words, the right kind of desires in my heart. That's why the key to obedience, the first thing that we do as we are now facing the door of obedience, the key that will help us unlock this door and walk in, is swift to hear, to listen. When you and I read God's word, when you and I hear God's word being taught or preached to us, or when we read articles where someone will explain the word of God to us, a commentary, don't justify and defend and try to hold on to a view or a position that you know is against the teaching of the word of God that has just been revealed to us, because it is the beginning, the key to enter into the door of obedience. Now, what do we find once we enter into the door of obedience? All right, the result. You enter into what verse 20 says, the righteousness of God. That will be the result. The key to obedience is be quick, swift to listen, to hear what God's word says. And then with a heart of obedience, you enter into the door of obedience, you stand before God righteous. Because if you don't, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And you don't listen, you try to justify, you're going to result in anger. And that's how many quarrels begin. Do you not agree? Quarrel with one another because we don't want to obey God's word in our relationship with one another. We hold on to our ego, we hold on to our pride, and we refuse to apologize. Or those who apologize to us, we refuse to accept because the wound is still very sore and very deep. Usually pride and arrogance and ego, they all stand in the way of a good, healthy, Christ-honoring, loving relationship between one another and between our God as well. That is why it's the key to obedience, and many of us do not want that key. And once we do not want that key and we make excuses, we stand outside the door of obedience, and when more and more difficult issues and difficult people come into our lives, our reaction and response will be one of anger. And we are going to become people that are very angry. Drop of a hat, while you're driving, you lose your temper, road rage, all sorts throwing tantrum, banging table, raising our voices and shouting at one another, losing our cool. And this is what we all struggle with. And all because we forget that the key to obedience is swift to hear. And when we are very quick to listen to God's word and with a heart to obey it, we enter into the door of obedience. We stand before God, and the Bible describes it. It will bring forth the righteousness of God. That's the word worketh. It will work fully. That means it will bring into reality. It will accomplish the result. It will accomplish the righteousness of God in your life and in my life, so that what you do will be right. And it all begins with the mind. You and I know that. The mind is the source, it's the key. Right understanding, right living, right words. The key is understanding. The word of God, our attitude, our response to the word of God is crucial. Just because we are exposed to the word of God, just because we are immersed in the word of God, like we listen to a lot of sermons, we come to church regularly, we read our Bible regularly, all these things are only good and pleasing to God if we are quick to listen and we enter the door of obedience and we stand in the righteousness of God. That is, and you and I must know and admit and realize, the singular only purpose of God giving us his word, that we all will end up in the righteousness of God. And it always, of course, obviously begins with salvation, the gospel. And once we have the gospel, we are now declared righteous by God, because the righteousness of the law will be imputed or given to us in Christ. And then from that point onwards, God requires us to live a life of righteousness according to the scriptures. That is the result. Either way, it will be still righteousness. Righteousness, positionally, now that we are sons and daughters of God, and since we are already positionally righteous, God says, now I want you to express it in practical terms so that people can see this righteousness, can hear this righteousness from your words, see the righteousness from your life. That's what it means by accomplishing, bringing into reality the righteousness of God that must be visible and be seen in our lives. Despite the circumstances, despite the adversities, no matter how bad and how difficult the external circumstances might be, once a person is righteous, he cannot help himself but bring forth deeds and works of righteousness. That's the way it is. It's not righteousness from outside that may hopefully one day infuse and work righteousness into our heart. It doesn't work that way. That is salvation by works. But the Pharisees tried. The Pharisees were the best and most diligent and faithful people who try to bring salvation into their lives by external good works. And these good works are according to scriptures. Of course, would be Old Testament scriptures from their perspective, because they do not accept the New Testament scriptures. And so when you go to Israel, they're still trying to do the same. They will believe sincerely with all their heart that if I do sufficient good Christian Old Testament biblical works, like circumcision, keeping all the feast days, keeping all the laws and all the regulations that are taught in the law of Moses, and if I do all of them religiously from the day I'm born, maybe one day I will have sufficient degree of righteousness that will help me enter into heaven. And the Lord says, unless you sincerely, truly believe the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, you will in no wise see the kingdom of heaven. Don't talk about entering. You can't even see it. That kind of righteousness is to be rejected, repudiated. That is a very dangerous approach. The Pharisees tried it, and the Lord said, not good enough. And today, we must beware of the same. And the same is in the church. Please do not think that by coming to church for worship, by attending prayer meetings, by reading the Bible, by attending Bible studies, by soaking ourselves with the Lord of Scripture, including attending night classes in Firestone Bible College, or some of them even day classes, or even earning a lot of degrees from theological seminaries overseas, even earning doctoral degrees in theology. None of these things will give us the righteousness of God. But it has been given by God as a gift to all those who are swift to hear, listen to God's word. And then you obey it, and you will find yourself entering the door of obedience with a key, the word of God that you will want to obey. Understand it and obey it, and then you will stand in the righteousness of God by God's grace, by God's mercy, as a child of God. That's what it means. Otherwise, it will result in the wrath of man. You become a very angry person, and then on the day you die in your sin, the wrath of God awaits you. You do not want that. Nobody should ever want that, especially when you have the key of obedience to enter into the righteousness of God by simply listening to the word of God, the gospel first, and then the rest of the scripture to help us not only be righteous positionally, but live righteously. And people will hear our words. They will hear the word of Christ. They will look at your life and my life, look at our dressing, look at all that we do. And they are going to see Christ. They're going to see holiness. And many of them will become believers because of your holy witness and testimony in Christ Jesus. That's what it means. Be swift to hear. That means don't delay, be prompt. Listen, don't argue, don't talk. Don't find excuses. Don't try to justify your own actions. The Lord is speaking to you. Listen. And I hope you're listening right now. Because once the word of God entered into your heart, you are now righteous. That's exactly what you find in verse 21. From key to obedience, to entrance to righteousness, and now you have the home of the word of God. That's why the word is called engrafted word. Where is the word of God planted? That's the word engrafted, implanted. Where? Into your heart, into your soul, into your being. The word of God will find a home in your heart, in your life. Wherefore, lay apart. Lay apart is put away completely. Now, this is in the past tense, past action. That means a person who has the righteousness of God has already experienced what it means to put aside, put away completely, throw it away. All filthiness, that is moral filthiness, not physical. All right, not the dirt or the filth that you experience when you go for a jog or a run. Not that kind. It's moral. All things that pertain to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Moral filthiness. You get rid of them. No pornography. None of these things. No vices. All these things. You now have the strength through the indwelling of the Spirit of God and one as a righteous person in Christ. You have the power from God to get rid of all these. Because you have already done so in Christ. Christ has already done so for you in your life. And superfluity of naughtiness. Superfluity means superabundance. And the word naughtiness, of course, is wickedness and evil. That means all those things that are full of sin and evil and wickedness that appeal to the flesh. Like you once perhaps loved to go clubbing, but now suddenly it becomes so distasteful. Disgusting. The longing has just evaporated. You once upon a time loved to smoke, to drink. And now the moment you smell cigarette smoke, you can't stand it. It's disgusting. And you could even envisage, how in the world did I ever like to smoke in the past? But now you can't even stand the smell of cigarette smoke. It chokes your lungs. You feel so disgusted by it. Or the smell of alcohol. Once upon a time, you found it so fragrant, so delightful. But now suddenly, the smell of it puts you off. You can't stand to smell it. It's disgusting. All these vices. And then, of course, gambling or any of these things that pertain to addiction. Computer games. Those things that can control us, take over our decision-making, what is right and what is wrong. We are helpless. We allow these things to hold sway over us like a master-slave relationship. All these things are now gone for good. And that is why a person who has the Word of God, who stands in the righteousness of God, who has the implanted or engrafted Word in his heart, he had already laid aside, thrown away all forms of filthiness and the superfluity of wickedness. That means the abundance of wickedness. Why did the Bible use superfluity of naughtiness? Why? Because as believers, the Lord knows that we are far from perfect. So there will be moments in our lives where naughtiness, this would be things that are evil, things that are wrong, may still creep into our hearts and our lives, and we may sometimes succumb to them. But those who do not get rid of them, when they succumb to them, they don't even feel convicted, they don't even feel bad about succumbing to them. What do you think will happen? It will remain. And not only will it remain, it will increase. It will become abundant, and then it will become more and more and more, and that's the word superfluity. If the Lord says, lay apart all filthiness and naughtiness, throw it aside completely. You and I know that we struggle with that. Sometimes we struggle to lay it aside completely. That's why it creeps back in. It comes back in. But we do not let it become abundant. Because the moment you don't get rid of it, it becomes more and more and more and more. You read in the newspaper about these people who fall into all kinds of sexual transgression. Did you not read in the papers of how it started with pornography? First, it was just a glimpse, a glance, and then they let it abound more and more and more and more instead of getting rid of it. Taking all kinds of steps in hating it, despising it, they let it abound and more and more and more. And sometimes they become so weak that they even go to prostitutes. I know of someone from a church, a BP church. It did not stop it. He visited the prostitutes. Thank God he was helped. And to my knowledge, up to this point in time, that was some years back, thank God he had overcome this. And he had not plagued him anymore. That is why the word superfluity of naughtiness is used to describe someone who does not get rid of it. And once you do not get rid of it, the danger is it will abound. But a person who stands in the righteousness of God, a person who is swift to hear God's word, who holds the key of obedience and he wants to obey, he enters the door of obedience, he stands in the righteousness of God, the implanted word of God resides in his heart, the engrafted word. And once the word of God resides, he will throw away all forms of moral filthiness, and he will not allow evil, wickedness, naughtiness, to abound. He will get rid of it as soon as possible with God's help, with prayer, with conviction of heart. And he will receive with meekness the engrafted word, and he will receive more and more of God's word. Humility. A person who is quick to hear, slow to speak, he is humble. We need this more than we care to admit. You know, very often when someone is sent by the Lord to rebuke us, we can have only two reactions. Instead of trying to open our mouth to justify, we should keep our mouth shut and listen. If the word of God is accurately convicting us because of a sin, a shortcoming, a weakness, then we should thank God for that person who has the courage and care and love enough to make it known to us, to help us stop ruining the image of Christ in our testimony, because that person cared enough to point out my shortcoming, my mistake. And if we are humble enough, we will learn from it and we will improve and we will stop that weakness, that transgression, that sin. Now, if that is an inaccurate description of us, that means we're already obeying God's word. And if we're already obeying God's word, then we can still thank God that that person who just been sent by God to share with us the truth, we're already doing it. And therefore, it will reinforce our conviction that it is the right thing to do. So either way, when we are swift, quick, prompt to listen, to hear God's word, and slow to speak, the word of God is truly very beneficial. The problem is, we are quick to justify. And once we do that, we reflect an image, not of meekness, but of pride. Arrogance. In other words, we are not as teachable as we would like to. Which is able to save your soul, which has the power. That's the word able, power, dynamite. The power to save us, to save our soul. We live in a time where the gospel that we believe in and listen to is under attack in ways and means that are unimaginable, because the true gospel of salvation in Christ Jesus is so rare and hardly heard in many of the corners of Christianity all over the world. It is a gospel that has no power to save. It sounds like the gospel, but it is not the gospel that's the power to save, because the impact and the lives of the people are hardly transformed. They are snared all over again in superstition, in carnality, especially the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. They have not been delivered from the bondage of sin. In fact, they have been snared even deeper in the bondage of sin, because now they think they have been delivered, but instead they have been put into a deeper snare, into the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And so we need truly to experience what it means to be born again in Christ. And that is why the Bible tells us, command us, be swift to hear. Listen. Listen to God's word. Truly, make sure that it is God's word that you're listening to. This is more than just an injunction between two human beings. This is an injunction between God and us. And if we are quick to listen, then you have the key to obedience in your hand. And once you obey God's word, you are now in the righteousness of God. You have entered the door of obedience and you stand before God righteous, and a righteous person will get rid of sin, because the engrafted, implanted word that has saved his soul will compel him to get rid of sin. He will not want to hold on to sin because the Spirit of God would not permit him, and the new nature, one of righteousness in him, will always desire to do what is right in the eyes of God. And no longer will he desire to do what is right in his own eyes, but he will do what is right in the eyes of his Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, his Savior, his Master, and his Lord. And it all begins with a person who is swift to hear. If we are not swift to hear, the result is we want to argue, we want to talk, and it will bring forth anger. And sometimes we might even be angry with God simply because we think we know better. We live in the time where man is very educated. The tendency to argue, to justify, and to debate is what we do on a day-to-day basis. But when it comes to a relationship with God, we have to realize, do not debate and argue with God. Let the Word of God speak to our hearts, and let the Word of God have free reign over our heart. First, transform us from sinner to saints, holy ones. And then after we have been transformed, let the Word of God continue to sanctify us and help us so that the holy witness that the Lord Jesus Christ demands and expects from us, his disciples, as children of God, will become clearer and clearer for people to see, for people to hear, to point many to the Savior, especially in these last days. We live in very difficult times where there are so many versions of Christianity, but the real ones, truly born again, sons and daughters of the Most High God, their holy witness is so much more demanded and needed now than at any time in the history of the church in the past 2,000 years. May God help us. May God enable us. It all begins with people who are prompt, swift to hear the voice of God, slow to speak, and therefore they will be slow to wrath as well. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank and praise Thee for the word of everlasting life. We need the implanted and grafted word of God now more than ever before, for it has the power to save our souls. And may this be reflected in the lives of all who truly know Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior. And we thank Thee, O Lord, that it all began when we were quick to hear God's word, when the gospel was presented to us, and how our lives have been transformed and changed. And may we continue to be quick, swift to hear God's word, so that the word of God may sanctify our hearts and our minds to help us think more and more like our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, resulting in speaking words that are the word of God and not the word of man, in what we counsel, in what we say, especially to one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, and also our lives, our good deeds will point many to the Savior. And when we share the gospel with them using the word of everlasting life, we pray, O Lord, that not only will they hear the word of God, but they will see the impact of the word of God in the lives of all your children now more than ever before, as we see the day of the Lord Jesus Christ fast approaching. May thou be merciful to sanctify thy people tonight from thy holy word. All those who have tuned in to hear thy holy word, may all of us say amen to thy holy word, so that we will be quick to hear and enter the door of obedience and find ourselves standing in the righteousness of God, and the word of God has now found its home in our hearts. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for thy glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much for joining us in the study of God's Word. Good night and God bless.